special price of $49 for a full year. Use code BIGDEAL to get this special rate. Don't miss a minute. Subscribe today at FarmJournalTV.com.
Morning, Zoe. Got donuts.
Jeff Bridges, why are you still living above our garage?
Well, I dig the mattress, and I want to be in a T-Mobile commercial like you. Teach me, Soldana.
Oh, no, I'm not really prepared. I couldn't possibly. At T-Mobile, get the new iPhone 17 Pro on them. It's designed to be the most powerful iPhone yet and has the ultimate pro camera system.
Wow, impressive. Let me try. T-Mobile is the best place to get iPhone 17 Pro because they've got the best network.
Nice, Jeffrey.
You heard them. T-Mobile is the best place to get the new iPhone 17 Pro on us with eligible trade-in in any condition.
So, what are we having for lunch?
Dude, my work here is done.
For 24-monthly bill credits on Experience Beyond for well-qualified customers plus tax and $35 device connection charge. Credits end and balance due if you pay off earlier. Cancel finance agreement. iPhone 17 Pro, 256 gigs, $1,099.99, and new line minimum $100 plus a month plan with auto pay plus taxes and fees required. Best mobile network in the U.S. based on analysis by Ookla Speed Test Intelligence Data 1H2025. Visit T-Mobile.com.
You're listening to WRGN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The Senate failed to pass a measure to end the shutdown again. Now in its third week, lawmakers leaving for the weekend. Earlier, Senator Mitch McConnell suffering a fall at the Capitol. ABC's Perry Russum says he's okay.
He was walking in the hallway when two volunteers who were asking him questions about ICE approached. He then fell to the ground. This is not the first time the senator has fallen. He fell back in February. Also back in February, the 83-year-old senator from Kentucky announced that he would not be seeking re-election.
The Red Cross says it's helped transfer 30 bodies from Israeli authorities to the Hamas-run Gaza Ministry. In all, Israel has returned 120 bodies since the ceasefire began. Israel continues to say Hamas has yet to return all deceased hostages. John Bolton, former national security advisor under the first Trump administration, is expected to face a federal indictment later today. Sources tell ABC News. Prosecutors in Maryland say it's over his alleged mishandling of classified documents. This is ABC News. The world's largest food company announcing massive layoffs are coming.
Nestle is letting go of 16,000 people globally. The maker of Kit Kat, Häagen-Dazs, Lean Cuisine, Stouffer's, Hot Pockets, Nespresso, Coffee Mate, Fancy Feast, and Friskies says the world is changing and it needs to change faster. Like other food makers, it's dealing with rising commodity costs and the negative impact of tariffs. Shares of Nestle rose on the news. Wayne Cabot, ABC News.
In New York, a federal judge blocked the Trump administration from rescinding nearly $34 million from New York City's Mass Transit Authority, an NYPD designated for counterterrorism. Judge Lewis Kaplan ruled the withholding of the funds arbitrary, capricious, and blatant violation of the law. FEMA pulled funding, officials say, due to New York City being a sanctuary city. The judge says the MTA, though, is a state agency. And the judge also noted New York City's transit system has been the target of at least 8 attempted terror attacks since 9/11. Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
Protect your home and auto by bundling them with Progressive, and you'll have a little less to worry about. But we know you'll find other things to worry about. Like that text you just got from your boss. Hey, call me when you get a sec. Hey, call me when you get a sec. Hey, call me when you get a sec. Oh, hey, call me when you get a sec. Yeah, this is bad. Oh, well, at least you protected your home and auto with Progressive, so you don't have to worry about that. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers not available in all states.
This week at Macy's, it's the best time to save on fall styles at our biggest fall sale. Find the classic brown boots and preppy Mary jeans that everyone's wearing. Luxurious cashmere and wool sweaters. Even better, it's our lowest prices of the season on diamond jewelry, now 50 to 75% off. Over half off. Don't miss your chance to save big on the looks you need now at Macy's biggest fall sale. Tomorrow, savings off select styles. Exclusions apply.
Radio Network News. I'm Tad Ehlen. Online sextortion of children and teens is becoming alarmingly frequent and will become a standalone crime in Wisconsin. Under the terms of a bill Governor Tony Evers is expected to sign into law, Thorpe Republican Jesse James is the Senate author of Braden's Law.
Having consequences that match the severity of the crime sends a message that this type of crime will not be taken lightly in Wisconsin.
The bill allows for charging a Class B felony if the victim commits suicide and for imprisonment up to 60 years on a conviction. Debate on the floor of the state assembly grew heated Tuesday over a Democratic amendment that would have pressured Wisconsin's congressional delegation to demand release of the Epstein files. Majority Leader Tyler August.
This is just another embarrassing moment for Assembly Democrats. And then they wonder why they're never going to be in charge of this place.
Democrats, including Clinton Anderson of Beloit, argued their amendment was relevant.
You know what's embarrassing is getting mad about us talking about holding a pedophile accountable.
The amendment to an unrelated bill regarding criminal prosecutions was ruled not germane, and the measure passed with only Republican votes. Some of Wisconsin's youngest lawmakers spoke as the state assembly considered a resolution Tuesday honoring the life and legacy of slain conservative activist Charlie Kirk. Milwaukee Democrat Kalen Haywood.
Charlie Kirk, who was not a Wisconsinite, nor had any meaningful ties to our great state or any contributions to our state.
Eustisford Republican William Penterman.
Charlie Kirk was at the UW-Madison campus last October. His impact has been felt here in this state and will continue to be. Charlie Kirk was vocal about his faith, and as a Christian, he loved everyone, especially those he disagreed with.
The resolution was approved on a mostly party-line vote on what would have been Kirk's 32nd birthday. You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Young farmers don't listen to the radio, right? Wrong. In a recent survey, 80% of young producers said they get their most important agriculture information from their trusted farm radio station. Surprised? Don't be. If you think about it, it makes perfect sense. Radio is the perfect companion because it goes with you everywhere. Whether you are in the shop, on the combine, or in the truck, farm radio is right there with you. This message brought to you by the National Association of Farm Broadcasting.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Showers likely for your Thursday afternoon, maybe accompanied by a little bit of thunder as well. High temperatures in the mid-60s, southeast winds breezy. For tonight, shower chances diminishing a bit, mostly cloudy skies, lows in the upper 50s. The bathroom you always wanted, interest and payment free for 18 months. Call Bath Planet at 800-329-4115. Right now, it's 55.
By Farm and Ranch Media. Now, here's your host, Jesse Allen.
And welcome into AOA, Agriculture of America. Always good to have you with us for the conversation. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Our show powered by Cenex. Power through the season with harvest in full swing. You can count on Cenex Store's high-quality lubricants to keep your operation moving. Protect your equipment and your operation with Cenex. Go to your nearest store, talk to your local experts, or go to Cenex.com for more. Coming up on the show today, we're going to discuss rising energy prices nationwide and why consumer costs are becoming a major policy focus. David Hill for the Bipartisan Policy Center is going to join us in segment two for that conversation. After the bottom of the hour, we're going to talk with Nate Smith, the GM for Top Dollar Angus. He's got a Substack article out there about why the U.S. beef industry can't forget the global market. We're going to get his thoughts on this and catch up with Nate later in the show. Then we're going to close things out today with a new Soy Market Update Series conversation. Troy Melanthin, farmer leader at the United Soybean Board from Wisconsin, will join us to talk soy exports coming up later in the show. Let's get started, though, and take a look at the markets. Joining us now, Jacob Burks, agmarket.net. Jacob, how are you, my friend? My condolences that your Razorbacks lost to my wife's Volunteers last weekend. Yes. Let's just get that out of the way right now, buddy.
Well, if you're going to beat me up, just go ahead and tell me about how your Hawkeyes beat our Badgers, too. So let's
That too. Not a good weekend for Jacob's sports teams against mine. We'll just
and the Brewers. Come on, we got to win a game. So let's go.
All right, enough sports. We could probably actually, sports might be more interesting than the grain markets this week. Things are quiet. We got a little support in soy here towards the end of the week. NOPA crush numbers Wednesday, I know, were pretty strong, but really there just hasn't been a lot of fresh news, Jacob.
No, it's that time of year too. When we're talking to producers, you know, they're looking for opportunities. You know, we've been looking for opportunities to sell off of a rally for a long time in these grains, and it's just been one of those, you know, doldrums of the marketplace. You talk about those Cenex lubricants, and, you know, we could maybe lube this thing up a little bit and get more action out of it. I think that would be a good opportunity, but it's been quiet. It's been kind of boring. It's kind of been a good time for that. It's let everybody get their harvest done. But you know, there's a lot of questions right now. What do you do with that grain, storing it? You know, there's been a lot of different challenges, you know, here with a 1.5-ish billion more bushels of corn available to market, you know, with space being an issue and, you know, what's been gone. So there's just a lot of things out there of how to manage through this harvest season and going into the spring that, you know, give us producers a lot of questions right now.
Yeah, well, and I think some questions out there. I hear more chatter about southern rust affecting corn yields. I mean, that's another piece of this market, too, that I'd say, if anything, it's helping underpin and support this corn market here right now.
I do believe so. I think that, you know, the talk all along was we were in store for a, you know, extremely large crop. If you kind of measure, if I stay in my area here, the guys I talk to more often, the general concept of guys that have the second application of fungicides on most are pretty happy, to the point where I'm hearing even some corn records, all farm records of harvest so far, and some bean numbers that were, you know, above and beyond their best yields ever around here. But that corn, and just talked to two different guys yesterday, one in northern Illinois, one in Wisconsin, that was just very disappointed, did not apply the fungicides like he has in the past. Took 1 year off, and that was the wrong year to do it, you know, being 30 to 40 bushels behind what he was last year. So that is a true statement as far as the, you know, yields. I think overall it's going to hurt, our national yield numbers. But man, just some of the numbers that I've seen, you know, to think that we're going to be lower than last year right now, in my opinion, is probably going to be false.
Jacob Burks with AgMarket.net joining us here today on AOA. And I wonder as well, let's go over to the livestock trade. Cattle, kind of a spread trade day. It felt like Wednesday. We're trying to get back at it, though, to the upside here Thursday, waiting on cash. Hogs kind of mixed this week as well, maybe getting pulled along a bit Thursday by the cattle trade. What's your view in this protein sector right now, Jacob?
You know, first of all, the cattle market, cash, you know, talk of it being lighter, it's going to be lighter trade. I mean, the packers have got to do something. They've tried to slow keel down. This will be 2 weeks in a row that they're going to try to slow. They have to slow things down on the rail to get this box beef stabilized. And, you know, that's the demand thing. I think we've been talking about demand for about a year now, Jesse, like if it holds up, and it did a very good job to sustain these prices. But we are at a point now where we've seen that fall off, and now we're starting to stabilize in that retail sector of on the beef side of things. I think that, you know, if you can see the kills get stabilized here, we see cash trade pretty steady and let some of this positive margin situation, this margin situation turn a little bit positive for these packers. I think it's going to help stabilize these prices in here for a little bit. But, you know, we led this market up with these feeder cattle, and these barns have stayed just extremely hot. And I think a little bit has to do with some of the corn coming in. People, you know, these feedlots getting their hands on some corn, getting it locked in at a pretty fair price to them. And they were able to go out there and push for some of these cattle that were getting ready to go into the lot. On the hog side of things, you know, the charts don't look very good. It doesn't look, you know, we've seen cutout prices, you know, really kind of lead us on the way down. And again, they're starting to stabilize too. I think you boil all that down to what we've been talking about for a long time is the demand side and what we've seen, you know, from an economic standpoint. You know, we started to see the stock market continue to stabilize. There's still just a lot of questions about, you know, what's going on from our United States economy. And I think until we get, you know, these exports and what kind of trade deals that we're going to have, and it might take through the first of the year before we see that start to stabilize. You know, I think it's going to, you know, that's going to make a big difference on what we're looking at, demand picture for these proteins. And if we see some type of big pull off, you know, through the first of the year in these fat cattle, or if that's going to be something that stabilizes it. And I think it'll all boil down to what we do, you know, globally in our trade.
Yeah, good perspective. And I'll throw this to you here. We got about a minute left. I guess if we want some excitement, take a look at the metals, gold, silver. Whew, just it's a rocket ship, Jacob. I don't know what to make of what is happening in some of those outside markets here lately.
No, I had a very smart guy talk to me the other day regarding the gold-silver relationship. And I think right now we're at like almost 50 to 70-something relationship. We look to get that like a 3-to-1, you know, 30 to 1. And so like it's something that, you know, one of those two things like to change over time. So, you know, that's something that's, if you want to just get some popcorn and watch, because those contracts are pretty volatile and pretty expensive to trade.
Yeah, very, very true. Jacob, I know if folks want to reach out, have a conversation, take a look at your guys' intel and more, it's just easy enough to get started on the website, right?
You bet, man. Just agmarket.net. We got a 30-day trial of what our intel and what we do, and I think that'd be a good representation. And we encourage you to go over there and take a look at that trial.
Jacob Burks, agmarket.net. Always good to hear from you, my friend. Thanks for joining us on AOA. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you soon.
Hey, thanks for having me, Jesse. Appreciate it.
You bet. Today's AOA powered by Cenex. Premium Diesel provides today's high-tech engines with the power and precision it needs to get the job done. Protect your bottom line with Cenex. Coming up next, we're going to discuss rising energy prices nationwide with David Hill for the Bipartisan Policy Center. He'll join us after this on AOA. Your Soy Checkoff focuses on building demand for U.S. soy and profit opportunities for farmers. Over the next couple of months, tune in on Thursday mornings for the Soy Market Update Series. We'll visit with farmer leaders and industry experts to discuss checkoff investments driving demand and improving resilience across the market segments of food, feed, fuel, industrial uses, exports, and sustainable production. To learn more, visit unitedsoybean.org. On your farm, every hour counts. Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster Premium Diesel Fuel keeps your equipment running at peak power with cleaner engines, fewer breakdowns, and more hours per gallon. Pair that with Cenex Premium Lubricants, engineered to protect tractors, combines, and other heavy-duty equipment through long days and tough conditions. From planting to harvest, Cenex delivers the performance and protection you can count on. In the field, in the shop, and in every season, Cenex keeps you moving. Find your local distributor at Cenex.com.
Hey y'all, I'm Kelly Clarkson. Every American dreams of creating a better life for his or her family, but in some communities, those dreams face difficult challenges. When we come together to help those in need get the same opportunities as everyone else, we truly are making our country a better place to live for all of us. So look for volunteer opportunities in your community to help others achieve the American dream, all right? This message is courtesy of the United States Air Force.
If you miss an episode of Market Talk, you can listen back to the show anytime. Just search for Market Talk on your podcast platform of choice, and you can hear past episodes of the program on demand.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
The Wisconsin Corn Growers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit wicorn.org and become a member today.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. NMLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
Keeping America's farmers and ranchers informed. AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
And we continue here on today's Agriculture of America, brought to you by Cenex. Don't let unpredictable markets get in your way. Cenex Store's premium diesel fuel helps improve efficiency for your operation. Maximize your ROI. Go to your nearest Cenex store or visit Cenex.com for more information. Well, electricity prices are rising nationwide, and it's something that is affecting everyone, not just on the farm and ranch, but in urban cities and so much more. There is a lot of talk out there about the rise in energy prices and the cost to consumers. It's becoming a pretty big bipartisan policy focus. Let's talk about this and examine some of the why behind why energy prices are on the rise. Joining us now, he's Executive Vice President of Energy for the Bipartisan Policy Center, David Hill. David, welcome to AOA. It's good to talk with you, sir.
Good morning, Jesse. It's great to be with you this morning.
Set this up for us a little bit, just to start. A lot of folks, they're taking a look at their energy bills, whether they're in a rural area or in an urban center or wherever the case may be. Everyone's seeing their prices go up. And I've heard a lot of the talk about, well, it's because of AI data centers is one reason. And there's other things out there as well. But from your perspective, what are some of the key points as to why energy prices are on the rise right now, David?
Yeah, Jesse, I appreciate the question. And first of all, even before I answer your question, I do want to say that I grew up in Northwest Missouri, actually listening to one of your affiliate stations, KFEQ, in St. Joe, Missouri. So I have to I first of all have to say hello to the folks at KFEQ and in St. Joe here this morning.
You bet.
So what I think is going on in the power sector at the moment. And we have seen some significant price cost increases in power. It differs in different parts of the country just because of the dynamics in different states and different areas. But it really just kind of boils down to a situation of where demand is increasing faster than the new resources are being added. We've had some retirements of old generating units. And building new generation and new transmission is really hard and takes a long time. And so it's really a matter of new demand coming on the system faster than new supply.
And thinking about that, I feel like we're kind of caught in a little bit of limbo because it takes time to add more capacity to catch up with the demand that is there. And there's always challenges with regulatory hurdles and more at the state level, at the federal level, et cetera. Does it feel to you like we're kind of caught between a rock and a hard place to some degree with this whole situation right now, or not so much?
Well, I think we are a little bit. We have, and you touched on this in your question. I mean, your first question, the data centers are big new loads, and they're coming on the system fast, much faster than new generation can be built. And it's not even just the new data centers for AI and so forth, but we've also got more manufacturing facilities. We've got reshoring and manufacturing. We've got economic growth in the United States. We've got increased electrification of homes. We've got population growth. So we've got a lot of different things going on that are causing electricity demand to increase. And this really is coming after a period of time when electricity, the electricity load in the United States was pretty constant and hadn't gone up a lot in recent years overall. And then all of a sudden we're seeing a lot of pretty significant increases in different places. But yes, I think you're right. We've got a situation where demand is coming on fast, and the new supply is difficult to build and is slower. So we're in a tough situation right now.
We're having a conversation with David Hill, Executive Vice President of Energy with the Bipartisan Policy Center, and I wonder about this, David. You know, my wife and I, our electricity bill, rural Nashville, just outside in Middle Tennessee. I mean, I've been seeing the costs go up month after month, and wondering what's going on. We're not using any more energy in our home, but you know, I think about that. And then I think about my family back home in North Central Iowa, for instance, and I wonder, are the problems, is it a more acute problem right now in rural areas or more urban centers and urban areas? Are you seeing anything to tell us if the problems, when you think about that regionality, is it worse, in one area over another right now?
I don't know that it is, Jesse. I think it really is across the board. I think you're seeing some price, certainly some significant price increases and cost increases in both rural areas and more suburban and urban areas. It varies in different parts of the country, just depending on the supply situation. It can depend on transmission constraints and so forth. I do think it is something where folks should know that the people who are running the power system, the system operators, the utilities, they're very conscious of the current challenges and the tightening reserve margins. And when I'm talking about reserve margins, what I really mean are the amount of generating capacity we have out there in comparison to what the expected demand on the system is. And it is something where folks should know there are very competent professionals running the system, but at the same time, the system has to be managed very carefully all the time to make sure that both demand and supply is always in balance.
So I think about this now from a policy perspective, and especially on Capitol Hill, we're in the middle of a government shutdown. There's not a lot happening. But when we get past the shutdown and get back to, regular business, what are some things that Congress and our elected officials can do and the administration can do to try and help out with some of these challenges or help us grow and build the infrastructure we need, because I know it's becoming such a policy issue now. What are you hearing there on Capitol Hill? What are some things we can look at doing to help alleviate issues?
Yeah, so there are several things that we can do. And when I was noting earlier, some of the things that are driving this demand to increase, the data centers, the increased manufacturing, economic growth, we want that to happen. We want to be able to use this energy. These are all of the things that are actually good for Americans, and it's good for the economy. So what we really need to be doing is we need to be building more generation, transmission, and distribution facilities on the power side just to make sure that demand can be met. In order for that to happen, there are things that can be done at the federal level and at the state level. And I should say, Jesse, it is a matter that involves both the federal government's state governments and local governments. It's really all across the board because there are players at each level that are involved in the power system. But what we can do, so a few things that we can do and that we're actually pushing at the Bipartisan Policy Center is permit reform. Permitting new infrastructure takes too long, it's too expensive, there's too much litigation surrounding it. And all of that stuff needs to change. Congress needs to enact comprehensive permit reform, and there are some bills out there right now that they're being worked on that would help do that. We need that to happen. We need more regulatory certainty, and we need policymakers to recognize that it's a system, and we've all got to work together. I mean, different pieces of the system play important roles, and we need all of them.
Well, David, this has been a great conversation, a lot of things to think about. We got about a minute left. What would you leave folks with today who are listening in? Any other final thoughts, anything you would reiterate here on this topic?
Just a couple, Jesse. And again, I appreciate you having me. One is the Bipartisan Policy Center. We're having a permitting summit, actually, in the Visitor Center of the United States Capitol on October 29th. And anybody can register for that online at bipartisanpolicy.org if they want to attend that online. I think there are. One thing that folks can always do is just be conscious that that we actually do need all of these different resources in order to make the system work, and we've got to work together to make that happen.
Absolutely. Well, again, bipartisanpolicy.org for more information. And David, we'll have you back on the show again real soon. We'll continue this conversation and I'm sure have many more down the road. But for now, we're up against the clock. We will let you go. Thanks so much for joining us here on AOA today. We appreciate it.
Thank you again for having me, Jesse. Appreciate it.
You bet. David Hill, Executive Vice President, Energy at the Bipartisan Policy Center. Go to bipartisanpolicy.org for more information. Coming up next, missing the forest for the trees. Why U.S. beef can't afford to forget the global market. That's the topic of a recent article from Nate Smith, the general manager at Top Dollar Angus. We're going to discuss this with him and dive into that topic. Coming up next on AOA, brought to you by Cenex. Back with more right after this.
If your credit card bills have gotten out of hand, call Consolidated Credit now. If the interest rates on your credit cards are so high, it'll take years to get out of debt. Call Consolidated Credit now. They've helped over 10 million people. Without destroying your credit, they can reduce your interest rates, lower your total payments up to 50% to get you out of debt fast. For a free consultation, call Consolidated Credit now. The program works.
Call 800-489-9547. 800-489-9547. 800-489-9547.
Consolidated Credit Solutions Incorporated, 5701 West Sunrise Boulevard, Fort Lauderdale, Florida 33313. Licensed by the New York Department of Financial Services and by the Vermont Department of Financial Regulation. Kansas CSO 0019051. Maryland DM 1492. Oregon DM 892. Licensed by the Virginia State Corporation Commission. License number DC83. Service may adversely affect the individual's credit. Non-payment of debt may lead to additional finance charges or collections activity, including legal action. Actual interest rates, length of program, and monthly payment reductions will vary by consumer and creditor. Yours could be higher or lower. Not a loan company. We do not lend money.
You're listening.
Farmers, thinking about doing cover crops? Christina Olson is pleased to announce cover crop and forage planting services this fall. Adding a living root onto your valued land can improve soil health, build organic matter, residue management, control soil erosion, boost crop yields, as well as increase residue to help combat white mold in soybeans. Call Christina Olson at 715-495-6104 for your cover crop needs while improving your farm's bottom line. Find her on Facebook at Christina's Cover Crops, offering winter wheat, rye, and triticale. Milk markets were higher with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Wunakins. At the Mercantile Exchange, November milk up 23 to 1652, December up 11 to 1651, January up 10 to 1625, February up 2 at 1636. Meanwhile, in the livestock markets today, live and feeder cattle markets were mostly higher on the day, as the trade does anticipate that cash markets, especially on the feeder cattle side, will be once again higher, and that helped to support the markets, even though boxed beef prices were mixed. Meanwhile, hog markets, they closed mostly lower on the day, as there's not enough fundamental support to give traders any reason to move prices higher. October live cattle up $1.77 to $2.43.95. November feeder cattle up 27 cents to $3.80.95. December hogs down a dollar to $82.60. Chicago Board of Trade. Corn markets mostly higher as receiving some strength from the soybean markets, along with some short covering soybeans higher after the NOPA crush report came in 11 million bushels above expectations. That helping to support the market. While wheat markets, they were mostly higher as well. Short covering helping to support wheat markets throughout the day. December corn up 5 to 421 and 3 quarters. November beans up 4 and a quarter to 1010 and 3 quarters.
Just like you, Cenex Premium Diesel is no stranger to the field. In fact, Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster comes with a more complete additive package for a more complete burn. In simpler terms, you get restored power by up to 4.5% and restored fuel economy by up to 5%. Of course, there's always typical number 2 diesel. If you're not into the whole added power thing, Cenex Premium Diesel. Diesel that doesn't mess around.
Your Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster distributor is Elsevia Co-op.
During Medicare's open enrollment, it's common to receive mailers and see TV commercials that say you're missing out on some benefits. Before you respond to these ads, turn to Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol, here to help you prevent, detect, and report Medicare fraud. Don't be misled into enrolling in a plan that doesn't meet your health needs or cover your medications. Visit the Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol website at smpwi.org.
Information America's farmers and ranchers need. AOA. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back as we continue here on Agriculture of America. Today's program powered by our friends at Cenex. Selecting the right grease is critical. Cenex premium greases help fleets achieve superior strength and performance. Help your farm equipment achieve that performance it needs as well. Go to Cenex.com or your nearest Cenex location for more information. Well, joining us right now on the program, always like to check in from time to time with Nate Smith, the GM at Top Dollar Angus. Nate, welcome back to AOA. How are you, my friend?
I'm great, Jesse. You know, it's a lovely day here in Kansas. I think we're going to maybe reach 80 degrees, which it's a little bit warm, but, you know, we'll take the kind of year we've had with all this moisture. So I'm just happy to be here today.
Well, thank you for the time. And we got a fun topic to discuss here. You put out an article on your Substack, and I know I'm going to share this link on our social media and stuff later on here today, but talking about why the U.S. beef market can't afford to forget the global market. And I think this is an interesting conversation because, you know, we're seeing so much talk about low inventories and, you know, a lot of talk about trade and more. So just set this up for us a little bit. Why can't we forget our global trade partners as a U.S. beef industry, Nate?
So, you know, in the U.S. currently, we export between 10 and 15% of what we produce, which I know doesn't sound like a lot. We're going, oh, those are just pennies that were out there. But in all reality, we're producing a product that is highly demanded, and that 10 to 15% is not going to change. And a large portion of that 10 to 15% is actually high-value cuts that is really coming from our drive on the genetic side to make a high-quality product and then nutritionally put them on the right plane so that when we harvest them, we make the world standard, gold standard, of exactly what the consumer wants, no matter where you're at in the world, and have the eating experience that especially our trading partners like Japan and South Korea, they will pay up for constantly, and they don't want to have to worry about having to import from somewhere else because it's a trusted product. We know that they want everything cleaned up on the vaccine side all the way through health, and then at the end of the day, they want that steak or that strip loin right there, ready to go and be a top eating experience. And we, even though we see high calf prices, we need to keep in mind that they are the ones at times that are helping float our top end cuts.
And I think about this as well, and share this bit of your perspective here too. I know, you know, you mentioned being in Kansas and you had time at K-State and you got to get some good perspective from folks there like Dr. Barry Flinchbaugh. And thinking about if we get complacent as a U.S. beef industry with the global markets, I mean, talk about that piece of this a little bit as well, Nate.
Yep. So Dr. Flinchbaugh was an icon at K-State. He worked on the 1996 Farm Bill and was kind of a main orchestrator of that. Well, I was fortunate enough to take his ag policy class while there. He was quite the character. He always chewed on a cigar and carried a cane. He looked kind of like Santa Claus, but wore a purple jacket. And the cane wasn't to walk around with. It was to slap the board when he was trying to make a point. But one of the main things that he taught us while we were there is that if we aren't filling the supply to our trading partners, somebody else will. And in times like this, even though we are short on inventory, there will be times that we need to focus on getting our product overseas. There are other countries, especially the Aussies and the New Zealanders or the Kiwis, however you want to refer to them, that regularly I get interaction with on sites such as LinkedIn and platforms like that, that they are adopting a lot of our technologies and a lot of the genetics that we've used, and they see that they could access that market. But with the reputation that we've made, we have the ability to maintain it as long as we continue to produce those high-quality cuts. So we can't let our program slip up. We can't let our inputs, such as genetics, lower the quality. We can't say, oh, well, the calf prices are going to stay where they're at, and we're just going to worry about the U.S. consumer. We need to really understand that we're in a global system rather than just in a domestic system.
We're talking with Nate Smith, the general manager for Top Dollar Angus. And Nate, you had a sentence in your article that stood out to me a bit here that I think it's important for us to talk about when you mentioned high quality cuts and U.S. producers. There's one thing we know we're really, really good at when it comes to beef. It is high quality. And you said beef is unique among globally traded commodities because its value hinges on eating experience. Tenderness, flavor, marbling, et cetera. I mean, talk about that aspect of this, because I'll stand up here with you and say, you know, U.S. beef is the best in the world when it comes to that eating experience.
Yeah, it's one of those things that, you know, since the 80s, especially, and into the 90s, well before my time, they were, our forefathers had the sight that they knew if they improved carcass quality in general and marbling and, of course, tenderness to a certain extent, that would capture the demand of everyone. And anytime that we go back and take steps away from that or become complacent with where we're at, we're really doing a disservice to our customers at the end. And, you know, we talk about the fact that the eating quality is different or causes it to be a different type of commodity. We look into the grain markets and there's some grading go on in quality, but nothing like what we're seeing within the beef industry and the beef product. We trade it on the board, but it's still graded at the plant. It's still quality driven from the plant all the way through to the consumer. Unlike, let's just compare corn or wheat. Yeah, there's a few different little standards, but beef is an odd commodity that it's traded on actual eating ability and flavor and tenderness, even though it's also traded on tonnage and pounds at the end of the day when it's come across as a commodity.
Yeah, you know, Nate, I think about this as well, and this is something that it's an important thing for folks in the beef industry to think about and look at this perspective, you know, of how we play a role in the global market and how competitors could step in to start filling voids if they are there. But it's something that it's not, I guess I wouldn't say it's, and alarm bells are going off. This is more of a reminder for folks, a reminder for the cow-calf person, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, would you agree with that? I don't think we're in crisis alarm mode or anything. It's just a, hey, this is a reminder that this is kind of the dynamic we have in the beef industry.
Exactly, Jesse. You echo the point very well. One of our earlier articles on our Substack had included kind of a little bit of a vice versa to another article that had came out that said, is mediocrity okay for your program on the cow-calf sector in particular? And, you know, it was kind of disheartening to see that. And I just hope that really we don't become okay with mediocrity, because we built so hard, and every cow-calf producer and every piece of the supply chain in the U.S. has worked so hard to actually gain this market share, and we don't want to lose it just because we're okay. It's something that we're looking down the road at as we make these decisions today. As we all know, the beef market takes time. It's a slow-moving market. So let's plan ahead and just be careful of the decisions we're making and make sure that we're providing that quality. We're going to stay at the top as long as we keep advancing like we have been for the last 20, 30 years. Just don't forget that at the end of the day.
Great thoughts. And again, I'm going to share the link to your Substack, and so folks can go read more on this and reach out to you if they have comments and questions and more. Nate, anything final you would add here? We got about a minute and a half or so in this segment. Anything else you would add, reiterate to folks on this topic here today?
Yeah, just keep doing what you're doing, but explore those new technologies, those new ideas, those new thoughts of how not only can you make your business more profitable as a producer, but also make the industry stronger, more resilient, industry in general, so that when these dips do, when the dips do happen, we're not the ones losing out on market share. It's those other competitors that we see that, you know, they just can't move as much product because they don't have the quality and the taste and the reputation that the United States beef industry does.
Nate, always enjoy the conversation. Real quick, too, I'll just ask you, what's some of the chatter out there in cattle country? We continue to see these cattle markets rocket their way higher and prices at sale barn continue to be substantial. I mean, what's the chatter out there right now, Nate?
You know, everyone's still excited. We've had one of the best summers moisture-wise throughout certain parts of the U.S. Even though we hope to retain more heifers, we're still seeing a lot of cattle go on feed, a lot of heifers go on feed. This market is strong. It's still a bull market. Everybody worries about a black swan, of course, type of event, something that's non-related to the beef industry. Other than outside of that, you know, just fundamental supply and demand is right there. And we worry a little bit about outpricing the consumer, but we just haven't seen it yet.
TopDollarAngus.com for more as well. With that, Nate Smith, the general manager for Top Dollar Angus. Always good to talk with you, my friend. Have a great weekend. Thanks for joining us.
Same to you, Jesse.
AOA Today, powered by Cenex Premium Diesel and Lubricants. Learn more at Cenex.com. Up next, it's a new Soy Market Update Series conversation right here on AOA.
With Fidelity Wealth Management, a dedicated advisor gets to know you and your goals to build a comprehensive plan to help grow and protect your wealth. Backed by a team of specialists, they'll analyze all your accounts, even the ones they don't manage, to keep an eye on taxes and provide proactive portfolio insights that can help you unlock your wealth's full potential. Learn more at fidelity.com/wealth. Investment minimums apply. Fidelity Broker Services, LLC. Member NYSE, SIPC.
Workdays can be unpredictable, but your workwear shouldn't be. With a Cintas Apparel Plus program, you'll have freshly laundered garments for everyone on your team delivered every week. Cintas has workwear for just about any job imaginable, with high-performance fabrics and an uncompromising fit that stretches and moves with you. Don't leave looking and feeling good to chance. Visit Cintas.com.
Oh, I'm ready!
And get ready for the workday.
Wesley Financial Group is not a law firm.
Hi, I'm Chuck McDowell, the timeshare cancellation guy. In 2011, I founded Wesley Financial Group with one goal in mind, to help honest folks out of their timeshares permanently. Today, I run Wesley with my two sons, a real family business, treating every client and every employee like we'd want our own family treated. That philosophy has helped us grow into the largest, most trusted timeshare cancellation company in the United States. Fortune magazine even recognized us as one of the best places to work. Why? Because we genuinely care. In fact, some of our former clients were so moved by their experience working with us, they joined our team so they could help others to timeshare freedom. If you're stuck in a timeshare, give us a call. Let our family help your family.
Call Wesley now for your free timeshare exit kit. 800-790-1400. 800-790-1400. 800-790-1400.
Enough already. We can find a cure.
Enough already.
We can do better for our kids.
Enough already. We are relying on you.
Childhood cancer is the leading cause of death by disease for children in our country. We can do something about that. We can come together to support the best research for safer, more effective treatments and cures for our kids. We can come together to support Children's Cancer Research Fund, a national nonprofit dedicated to ending childhood cancer that is on the front line of breakthroughs. Because
it's enough already.
Go to childrenscancer.org to join us. Go to childrenscancer.org today.
If you don't have final expense life insurance, this message is for you.
LifeCare provides valuable information about whole life insurance to help cover final expenses, medical bills, burial costs, and other final expenses. Enrollment is fast and available to anyone between the ages of 50 and 80. No medical exam, no lengthy questionnaires, and no waiting period. Just answer a few questions and we will do the rest. With the average funeral costing $9,420 and Social Security only paying $255, you need simple peace of mind for you and your whole family. Don't leave behind unpaid expenses. Your premium will never increase. Your policy will have a cash value and a death benefit that can never decrease. To find out how you can get final expense life insurance with a lifetime lock, call 800-260-7322. That's 800-260-7322. 800-260-7322.
Farm and Ranch Media is your go-to source for the latest news of agriculture, market information, ag weather, and much more. With the American Ag Network, Agriculture of America, AOA, and Market Talk, we keep you informed on the news and issues that matter for your operation. Agriculture is a busy job, and it requires you to constantly be on the go. That's why we'll keep you farm informed with the American Ag Network, AOA, and Market Talk.
I just like to say thank you to everybody.
Farm Rescue exists to shine a light on farm families during some of their darkest days. When an unexpected injury, illness, or natural disaster strikes, our volunteers and equipment are here to help free of charge. Farm Rescue is currently accepting applications for haying and harvest assistance. If you or someone you know could use our help, call 701-252-2017 or visit farmrescue.org today.
America's farmers and ranchers informed. AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
And AOA continues here, powered by Cenex Premium Diesel and Lubricants. Visit your local experts at your nearest Cenex store or go to Cenex.com for more information. Well, right now it's time for another Soy Market Update Series conversation. Joining us, he is a farmer leader with the United Soybean Board out of Wisconsin. Tony Melanson is with us here today on the show. Tony, welcome into AOA. It's good to talk with you.
Yeah, thank you for having me on, and I'm excited to be here.
Well, I know our topic today is soybean exports, and of course, that is such a hot topic right now in agriculture, and you know, a lot of challenges out there with today's farm economy and what farmers are facing when it comes to trade and more. So talk to us about what United Soybean Board is focusing on right now to kind of help promote U.S. soy as a high-quality, sustainable, and reliable product, Tony.
Absolutely. So I'll start with the mission of the Soy Checkoff, which is to create value for the U.S. soybean farmer. So every investment we make has that intended purpose. Now, I'm here, I can talk specifically about exports, and I'd be happy to do that. I think I'll start with maybe a big picture, overarching overview of it. We can get into more specifics as the conversation goes on. Mm-hmm. But when we look at funding soy export promotion through the checkoff, we look at what's going to move the needle for the U.S. soybean farmer. And part of that is differentiating our product versus our competitors. And each country that we go into, sometimes that means something different. In more developed countries, that may mean differentiating based on sustainability metrics. In less developed countries, it may mean differentiating based on quality metrics, such as, you know, your oil yield, the quality of the oil, once the foreign crushers crush it, the quality of the oil and meal that they receive, and the storability of U.S. soybeans versus our biggest competitor, Brazil.
What are some of the, you mentioned diversifying things and promoting, you know, our high quality product. What are some maybe specific export type of projects that the United Soybean Board's working on right now that maybe you're most excited about, Tony?
Yeah, it's hard to pick, you know, one that I'm most excited about. I would say if we kind of break it down to region, I'm excited about our work in the Americas region, which would be the northern part of South America and Latin America, because that's where we're really able to differentiate our product. That's really where we're going in. There's already a preference for soybeans, and now we're creating that preference for U.S. soybeans. Conversely, on maybe the other side of the globe, it's work where it's introducing soybeans and getting that first taste of soybeans and what that can do for the rations of whatever animals they may be feeding, mostly aquaculture and the poultry industries. And so you kind of get the best of both worlds. One thing that we have noticed is, right now our soybeans are on sale to the world. And so buyers who are not traditional buyers of U.S. soybeans are starting to buy U.S. soybeans. And one thing we have heard from more than one buyer is, wow, I can't believe the quality of U.S. soybeans, and starting to get that recognition that one foreign purchaser that I had a conversation with about 2 months ago even admitted as a buyer that he'd be willing to spend $15 to $20 per metric ton more for U.S. soybeans because of the quality that they're seeing over our competitors.
Tony Melanson with United Soybean Board joining us here today on the Soy Market Update series. And you mentioned aquaculture and animal ag, and that's an interesting piece that I always like to highlight when I have these conversations, Tony, because a lot of those partnerships, and maybe you could talk about a few of those, but that relationship with animal agriculture and things like that, and kind of, helping to feed animals that turn around and add value back into our overall ag economy and more. I mean, that is a great relationship that I don't think is talked about enough when it comes to exports. Right, Tony?
Yes, I would agree. To kind of give an overarching view on how USB handles the export funding that we do, USB itself is not going to these countries. As a farmer leader, I have opportunities to go, but we have the United States Soybean Export Council that does a lot of work on our behalf. We have WISH, the World Initiative for Soy and Human Health, that is in that introductory market trying to get that first taste of soy. And then we also partner with USAPEAC and USMEF, understanding that animal agriculture is the ultimate end user of the majority of our soybeans, almost all of our soy meal. And so to help promote and lift up American meat products internationally to drive that demand at home.
Well, we got about a minute left, just over a minute here. If folks want to learn more and stay up to date with a lot of these export projects and more, I'm sure UnitedSoybean.org is a great way to get started. Right, Tony?
That is a great way to get started. What I would say is once you're there, go to the directory, look at your state, and see who the USB farmer leaders are from your state and reach out to them. That's part of what we signed up for when we signed up to throw our hat in the ring, so to speak, to be a USB director, is to communicate with our fellow farmers about what your money, the checkoff, is doing for you.
Any other final thoughts for us in terms of the work that the Soy Checkoff's doing when it comes to soybean exports, Tony?
I'll wrap it up real quick and just say that everything we do has an intent and purpose behind it. We really strategically look every single year where the market dynamics have shifted. We make investments based on that, and recently shifted to some more soybean meal specific investments due to the increased crush capacity here in the United States.
Well, again, UnitedSoybean.org for more information. We appreciate the conversation. Tony Melanson, farmer leader at United Soybean Board from Wisconsin. Thanks for joining us on the Soy Market Update series here on AOA. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
And that is going to do it for today's program, Agriculture of America, powered by Cenex Premium Diesel and Lubricants. Learn more at Cenex.com. Thanks for joining us. I'm Jesse Allen. A great rest of your day.
At CHS, we know what it takes to feed and fuel the world, to integrate a global ag and energy supply chain, to advocate for farmers in their fields and around the world,
to build communities, invest in rural America, and empower rural economies. It takes courage, conviction, commitment. It takes the nation's leading farmer-owned cooperative. It takes a co-op. It takes CHS.
Farming isn't just a job. It's a way of life. But even the toughest seasons can take a toll. If you're feeling overwhelmed, stressed, or just not yourself, I want you to know you're not alone. Talk to someone you trust. Call a neighbor. Reach out to a professional. Your mental health matters. For you, your family, and your farm or ranch, it's okay to ask for help. Brought to you by Farm and Ranch Media, standing strong with rural America.
My husband is a veteran, and he was injured in the line of duty.
It happened while I was deployed to Iraq. We were stopped at a checkpoint, and then all of a sudden, there was a loud explosion. An IED detonated 3 feet from my face.
This is an important notice to all U.S. taxpayers. The IRS is giving away billions of dollars in tax savings through a federal program called the Fresh Start Initiative to aid delinquent taxpayers. This initiative was established for anyone facing financial hardship and unable to pay their back taxes. Qualifying and enrolling in this program will stop all collections, settle your delinquent tax problem, and even reduce what you owe by thousands of dollars. Call the hotline at People's Tax Relief to see if you qualify and get this free information by dialing 800-924-7415. If you have unfiled tax returns or cannot afford to pay your personal or business back taxes, you can now get the help you need. One simple phone call can resolve your tax problem and save you thousands of dollars. To see if you qualify and to get this important free information, call 800-924-7415. 800-924-7415. 800-924-7415.
Real Country, 1430 AM Stereo, WRDN, Durand, Downsville, Pepin, and 107.3 FM. Translator W297CH Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. President Trump held a call today with Russia's Vladimir Putin about ending the war in Ukraine, saying the two will meet in Hungary without giving a date. Tomorrow, the president meets with Ukraine.